gonna be fun. We can stay up late, swapping manly stories, and in the morning, I'm making waffles.
Oh!
Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
I'm the great one. Thank you very much.
Yeah, what he said.
See, I can not curse on this show if I choose not to.
I know. There was another individual that did it as many times as he possibly could in a 30-minute span to see how much I would edit.
You know what's funny, folks? If you go over and listen to the latest episode of All Things Transformers, which is us talking about toys, Transformers toys, like we're, 13 and 16 years, 15 years into podcasting now, the two of us? Like, I think you're 15, I'm 13, whatever, anyway.
I've been going since 2005, 2006.
Okay,
well, 2006, 2007, somewhere.
Well, whatever. So anyway, the point is, at this point, I think we can reveal this kind of stuff. I have flaws, too, and I break down, and I do things that I shouldn't do, and yada, yada, yada. Hell, the last couple of podcasts I recorded, I have to edit out myself eating on the show because I just lose my mind. And I'm hungry. I need to take a bite of this candy bar. But anyway, Steve says, a lot.
What do you mean?
I'm going to kill you,
That's not my name.
Yeah, well, it is now. It's Steve It's not Steak-um. It's Steve So in the last episode of All Things Transformers, I dialed down his and I put the Cheetor gun sound from Beast Wars over top of it. Mm-hmm. Hey, he made me sound like I was making farm animal noises when I was cursing on Altered Geek, so turnabout's fair play. Darn
oh, yeah,
it.
I'm fine with it.
No, I know you are.
I think it's hilarious, just, honestly. Yeah, if somebody has that much time to sit and edit me into that, like, great. So anyways, it's been a while since we've had an episode.
Yes, it has.
Thankfully, this podcast hasn't had the issue that a few of our ones from way back in 2008,
2009. Yes. Well, you know what? We took fair use to
extremes.
Know, yeah, back then. Anyway. Yeah,
well, back then, nobody knew what you were and were not allowed to do.
Yeah.
It was pretty much people just did whatever they wanted and then just let the chips fall where they may. And unfortunately, for me and you, we were like, these songs are cool. Let's put them on the episode.
Yeah.
You know, since we're talking about the movie that's associated with them anyway, let's just do it.
Yeah.
And fast forward to 2021. Ta-da! Copyright. Takedown notice. So, yeah, I mistakes were made.
Yes, yes. There have been a lot of mistakes in the last 12 years of this network.
So we're attempting to go back and make it right. Now, something I noticed as I was going back, because M-Wire is a huge culprit. A huge culprit. And it's not just you. I did it too, because there were episodes that I edited and ones that you edited, and I can tell who edited an episode based on the output.
Yeah.
I don't know who did what, but I do know that the output has either been at the minus zero range, where they're almost peaking, or they're at the minus 12. And it just kind of is random and depends on the episode.
Yeah.
Some of the things I noticed too is we'll have everybody at the minus 6, and then JT from Saskatoon is on there and he's at minus 0.
Yeah.
So that's a dead giveaway that
leveling back in the day was not our best. We actually didn't do any leveling. I know I never did.
No.
Leveling
none of
back
us did.
In the day.
So
yeah.
And so what I was doing while I'm going back removing music from the episodes, because one, I don't want to redo any of those episodes or the conversations in them. It would take far more time to re-record all of it.
Yeah.
And I don't care to do it again. No. So it's a dead show. Like, I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the conversation, and a lot of the thoughts behind some of the episodes are still true today.
Yeah.
But I'm going through and I'm scrubbing any music. Usually, like, yours are pretty standard. When you go to a break, you would throw it to a song.
Yeah.
Or you'd end on a song, which makes it super easy to edit.
Yeah.
When I'd edited, I didn't have that.
See, that's the difference, though. Like, okay, so when I start,
there were some that I ended the episodes, and there were some that I started the episodes, or I had them like at the beginning somewhere. The trailers, I had to be careful because some of them have music in them.
Yeah.
So if they had excessive music, if I did not hear talking that was specifically trailer oriented or movie oriented, I wiped it because, and I'm only through, I've got the first 10 episodes re-edited, re-exported, re-leveled, and I'm working on the second 10 of, you know, episodes 11 through 20, where we have a couple of 0.5s in there. So I'm still scrubbing through those and trying to optimize and fix that to make them more listenable.
Right.
Plus, I don't want to get it, you know, obviously what we did back then was wrong. It was, yeah, we were just excited about the music that went with the movie. And so we were like, hey, let's play this clip. And it wasn't just like a snippet. We played the whole song.
But yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. You have to get the permissions. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to jump through all these hoops. And honestly, the thing of it is for me, I came from listening to podcasts where
people
fully said, hey, look, we are using fair use here. We are discussing this. We are reviewing it. So we are going to play this for you kind of thing so you can hear what we're like. A couple of old podcasts used to put in old radio dramas kind of thing. Well, unless you are going to hunt down the radio drama, you're not going to know what the hell they're talking about. So they put it in. Kind of thing. And I still use clips and I still use things. I try to make them not as long as they used to be.
Yeah. I've just erred on the side of caution because everything I've seen as far as the podcast industry is concerned, there's no general consensus of what's allowed and what's not and what's fair use and what's not because nobody's been made an example of out of it. So I would rather not be that one. So,
yeah. Oh no, absolutely.
The interesting part with it is that even in the conventions, in the a lot of the webinars, a lot of the live streams from people that are in the know of podcasting say it's better to err on the side of caution, just not do it unless you get the licensing itself. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I agree with that. But they've been kind of saying that since 2016, and that's when I ultimately had the cutoff of I'm never doing this again. And you were a little bit more able to, based on some of the contacts you had, but at the same time, it was still less than what it used to be. Although we got flagged for Mayhem Mics for the intro music.
It's probably the intro music because, don't get me wrong, I love everything the man has done and I appreciate everything he has done for me and for us and for everything. But TV's Mr. Neal, when he made the Mayhem Mike's intro, part of with him introducing, whether it's Ryan and I at the time or Mike the Birdman and I at the time. See, now you got me friggin' doing it, you jerk. He has like, oh, D-O-double-G, and it has part of a theme song from one of the wrestlers that goes, you know. So that's probably, and it only got flagged on one episode, and I'm surprised. What I'm really surprised is, since I restored Tooncast episode 10, I'm surprised Tooncast hasn't gotten flagged yet, not to jinx it or anything like that, because
I think television themes are a little bit more acceptable.
Right. So,
whereas if it's like a regular song or like musical composition that's used in the episodes or in the movie, or
well, the reason
like
Yeah, the reason why I say I'm surprised Tooncast episode 10 has never gotten flagged. Well, number one, it had been missing for a good chunk of the last 13 years until I finally found a good because that episode is 4 hours, 27 minutes and change. The reason why it's 4 hours and 27 minutes and change is because it's 2 hours of Optimus Solo and I talking about He-Man and She-Ra. The other 2 hours is DVD special feature audio where the actual producers from one of the old DVD sets was talking about the show. So it's not necessarily going to get flagged if it does because of music, but because a DVD special feature, again, going back to the radio play thing, like that's why, but yeah, 4 hours, 27 minutes, which I actually broke that record this year. We now have a podcast. Oh, what?
I wouldn't be proud of that long of a podcast.
You know what? It just depends on how good it is.
There's no way I would sit and listen to a 5 hour podcast, just saying.
Well, that's you.
Most people don't.
It depends on the content. So anyway, ToyCast 100 comes in at 4 hours, 51 minutes, and 35 seconds. You know how I know that? Because I spent 15 hours editing the damn thing. Anyway, yes, the podcasting landscape has changed. Yes, we have learned things, and we are trying our best to be on our best behavior. Hell, there are some episodes of The Pullbag and other things that I've recorded recently where I'll say, oh, this makes me think of this, but it's too bad I can't put the audio in here because if I did, I'd get sued.
Pretty much.
So, you know. And tonight we got to talk about some TV.
Yeah. Well, actually, before we get into the TV portion.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
We could talk. No, it's fine. We can talk about some of the new mergers or purchases of studios.
Yes.
One of them being, it's not surprising that Amazon is trying to purchase MGM.
Yeah. Well, MGM has been in, I don't want to say fluidity, but they have been in
they've been shopped around quite a bit.
Well, they've been shopped around quite a bit, but they've also been in the lion's shithole for the longest time. And this is a studio that was very prominent. This, you know,
this is one of the originals.
Like, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those studios that it's right up there with Columbia. It's right up there with, well, TriStar is no longer a thing, but the studios I remember as a kid in the 80s, MGM, Columbia, TriStar, I think Orion was one of them. Not necessarily a huge one, but it was one of them, you know. So it's like, oh, Jeff Bezos is now going to potentially bid $9 billion or whatever it is for MGM. Oh no, that's gonna be. I don't know. Everything has changed. This is what I try to tell people. So I'm in several different true crime television groups on Facebook. Most of them, two of them, are related to what retired Detective Lieutenant Joe Kenda of the Colorado Springs Police Department from 1973 to 1996 had done. And these people that watch his show, Homicide Hunter, on Investigation Discovery and Discovery Plus, as well as the new show that he's doing, American Detective, oh my God, Discovery Plus, why do we have to pay to watch it? Why can't it be on? And every time I see anyone, and I don't know how old these people are, male, female, whatever, it's on Facebook, so I see that one, you know, I can see that they're male or female or whatever. But it's one of those things where when I see a comment that someone is saying, why can't I just watch it on ID? Why do I have to pay more? And I'm like, television, the industry that is television and the film industry as well, is constantly changing, evolving, and growing to a point where you're not just going to be able to watch it on a television or a cable network or this or that. Things are changing. Look at the landscape we live in now. we have streaming services, we have this, we have that. And it's so funny we're talking about this now because I still have not edited Studio 19. Anyway, everything is at our fingertips now, whereas 30, 40, 50 years ago, we would have to wait every week to watch an episode of ALF or Knight Rider or A-Team or
some Stargate. Some things we still do.
Right. Well, yes, because some of the streaming services are trying to get back to that weekly content, so they have people come back weekly. But when, you know, when Netflix first started, it's like, here's all of it at once. Like, buffet.
I honestly prefer that because then it gives me the opportunity to blitz it.
Yep.
I do too. Because I've noticed too that sometimes if people don't have a streaming service, they will sign up for the free trial.
Yeah.
They will blitz the show after it's done.
And cancel the free trial.
And then cancel the free trial.
Yeah.
It's like I would rather, I mean, if I'm already a subscriber, I would rather just have it all there anyway. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't stop people from blitzing it and then canceling the free trial too. But
yeah.
I think either way, you're going to have your people that are going to stay subscribed and you're not. And if it's just for one show, like I have zero interest in getting Paramount Plus.
I got a free trial to that.
And I had a CBS All Access free trial when that was new and it was dog snot.
Okay. Yeah. But that was CBS All Access.
Yeah.
Paramount Plus.
I mean, you do get Paramount's entire catalog, which is nice.
Yeah.
But a lot of what I watch that they would have is old and everybody else has it anyway.
Well, here's the thing. So there was this giant misconception when Paramount Plus was announced. Once again, everybody's like, oh, another stream. No, it is not another streaming service. CBS All Access folded.
Oh, and
became, no, I know you know this. I'm just saying, so in case anyone hears this podcast in 50 years and still thinks that Paramount Plus was yet another new subscription service, it was not. It was CBS All Access being folded into what is now Paramount Plus. Now, I will give Paramount Plus one advantage. They are the only streaming service, to my knowledge, that you can pay for to not have ads, that you can watch every single season of the 2003 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon.
Mm.
It is streaming nowhere else. I mean, if it is streaming elsewhere, and I'm not looking that up right now, it's like in Tubi TV. It's not on Tubi. I know it's not. But I'm saying it's on
cartoons.
Yeah, it's on something like that, but it has ads kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, MGM. I mean, MGM and Amazon, oh my God, that would be...
Well, my college professor put in the media group that of people that were in that program at that college, he puts Amazon wants to sell more toilet paper and batteries, so it bought MGM Studios. And he linked to a YouTube video about it from CNET that says, you know, what Amazon's MGM takeover means for you. It says you'll get to stream. You know, and they list a bunch of properties, and this is, well, it's complicated because what happened is they actually don't have creative control over their heavy hitters on their catalog.
Mm-hmm.
And they sold the rights from their golden age.
Oh, no.
So like my teacher from that college class says, it's not crazy if you've been following them. They never got back on solid ground after TV took over in the 1960s and 70s. And Louis B. Mayer died. They have been bought and sold a million different times over the past 50 years, and it went into full bankruptcy in 2010. That is why there is MGM Casinos and other stuff, which are totally separate entities. Mm-hmm. Major investor Carl Icahn sold the catalog to Turner Classic Movies a long time ago, which then years later was bought out by Warner. Icahn also owned a big piece of Chrysler Motors and did something similar to them, but in recent years, MGM has become very good at creating scripted TV. So basically, it's just all over the place. There's things that they don't own the rights to anymore, even though they originated it. So it's I see it very much as one of those scenarios where, you know, Marvel, before they got in the movie making game, sold all the rights to certain characters to certain studios and
right, yeah,
don't own any of them technically as far as you know, video media is concerned. They lost those rights until they revert back. And so I think.
And then that, Disney bought Marvel and Disney bought Fox. And
yeah. So then they own it anyway.
Yeah.
Now they just need to buy Sony, and then they've got a gaming system and they own Spider-Man again.
Jeez. Yeah.
But yeah. So anyways, it's crazy. Just, it's kind of mind boggling when you go to look at it, all the transformations of it, but it's crazy when a tech giant that already has its own Amazon Studios is looking to be purchasing MGM.
Yeah. And then we have Warner Brothers Discovery.
Yes, Warner Brothers Discovery, which AT&T lacks vision. But
I mean, I'm happy it's going to Warner Brothers versus sticking with AT&T. But here's the thing, okay? So they have Discovery Plus. Is this new thing, and I've read this article and it doesn't seem to say anything about Discovery Plus. They just launched Discovery Plus. Discovery Plus has over 55,000 episodes of stuff from HGTV, Discovery, whatever is under the Discovery banner, it's all there. So now I'm wondering, with this Warner Brothers Discovery, are they going to fold Discovery Plus into that? And I don't know.
I don't know. AT&T has kind of this weird, I mean, Warner Brothers has, you know, DC things. They have, I think, don't they have HBO? Or is that somebody else?
No, that's Warner.
Okay. So they have that. They have, you know, the Discovery Plus. AT&T's got some version of a streaming thing. Then there's Time Warner.
Time Warner is essentially dead, honestly. I mean, they don't really... I don't know where that... Like, Time Warner isn't even a thing anymore. That's... Well,
it says AT&T and Discovery... rocked the industry on May 17th by unveiling plans to combine Discovery and AT&T's Time Warner assets into a joint venture that would be spun off as a separate entity. In other words, they're ditching the part of Time Warner that they don't want.
Yep.
Which is pretty much everybody. But I find it funny that Warner Media is basically now like Warner Brothers Discovery. I don't know. There's so many different names to all these that it's just, it makes it confusing.
Yeah. So I am looking here on Wikipedia, and the first thing I pulled up was HBO Max. HBO Max's parent company is Warner Media. Under their things, Time Warner and Time Warner Entertainment, 1990 to 2001. AOL, Time Warner, 2001 to 2003, Time Warner, 2003 to 2018, second incarnation, AT&T acquisition, Warner Media, 2018 to 2021, and now with this new. So I'm wondering if, because this now includes Discovery, if Warner Brothers Discovery is going to be the one new app where everything is. So, hey, as long as I can still pay $7 a month for ad-free Investigation Discovery Network stuff, I don't care. That's fine. It's like I've been saying ever since the first episode of whatever show it has been on this net on the GCRN that we talked about streaming services. I want one or two things that have everything I want to watch. The reason why I had Netflix and later Hulu at the time, and I still have Netflix and Hulu, is because those things had at the time everything I wanted to watch. And watch and watch. Now we have insert name here plus post Max Super Fly Jimmy Snuka whatever kind of thing. So if everything is going to fold into Warner Brothers Discovery, and I only have to pay one thing for all of their, like, are they going to fold HBO Max into that? Because they just launched HBO Max earlier, like recently. I'm like, really? Seriously? I don't know. It's a whole thing, folks. It's a whole, the streaming wars are not really streaming wars anymore, because as Astro Train runs through my backyard, the streaming wars are not wars anymore. The streaming wars are, who's going to have the bigger streaming stick now? Who's going to have all the content? what's the one place you can go for the all the content that you really, really want?
Yeah, I mean, I used to be of that mindset of, yes, please give me a la carte. And they did.
Mm-hmm.
But now everybody's got their own a la carte.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's changed quite a bit in the last 10 years.
In the last 10 years? Hell, in the last 5 years, in the last 2 years, it's changing rapid. Television is changing more rapidly than we can keep up with it. We went from, and I know nobody wants to remember this, but HD DVD versus Blu-ray. And then we were at HD TV. Yeah. And then we were at HD TV. And then we were at, you know, Blu-ray. And then we were at, now we're at, instead of HD TV, we're at 4K TV and 8K TV and 2020K TV and whatever. It's television. Ever since the invention of the television happened, the history of the television and what is on it, or around it is constantly changing. The fact that I can go to this little device that is maybe a 6x9-inch screen, I don't know, that I can go to my Samsung Galaxy S9, I can pull up my entertainment folder, Netflix, Hulu, Discovery Plus, Disney Plus, YouTube, Amazon Prime, Peacock. I have all these things at my fingertips that I can watch all this content on. And yes, it is only a smartphone. Yes, it's not the biggest screen in the world. Half the time I'm laying in bed falling asleep to Forensic Files. So it's not like I'm needing, although I would love to have, and actually I do have a big 55-inch television that my lovely ex-wife, that's a story for another day, folks. Karen and I are still together, but it's a long story. You don't want to hear it. But I have to refer to her as that, because if I don't, Social Security will come after me and say, well, whatever money she makes, we're going to take. Anyway, so it's one of those things where I am at a point where television and the content of television has gotten to the point so far that I want it at my fingertips. And we are now there where I have the content I want at my fingertips. This ties into, and we'll get to that in a minute, this ties into the actual topic we're going to talk about here in a few minutes, about, you know, what do you do when a show, or what is going to be the topic we talk about, say, in about 5 minutes' time, sir?
What do you do when your shows that you're invested in are done, when they end, when they cease to be?
Speaking of ceasing to be, Jupiter's Legacy canceled, but Netflix has already ordered a spinoff. This is from TV Line. This is, as of this recording, June 2nd, 2021. Happy birthday, Pecan Cormichael. According to Deadline, however, the streamer is keeping the franchise alive. So, Jupiter's Legacy, it's got one season on Netflix. Our lovely Canadian fellow friend up there in Canada, Alex Ricci of ThisWeekInGeek.net, turned us on to this show. It got canceled after one season, but they're going to continue the franchise or universe of Jupiter's Legacy by giving it a supervillain show called Super Crooks. I had said this to you because another buddy of mine, David Draper from Toy World Order. Dave is an avid toy collector. Dave has an entire basement filled with toys. He's been collecting for the past 30, 40 years. And Dave posted this he didn't post a link or anything, but he posted this on Facebook. He says, well, Jupiter's Legacy, I guess it's good that you're not ending on a cliffhanger. Oh, wait, you did. And I'm like, ooh, it's Sheldon Cooper from Big Bang Theory with alphas. I'm not calling you that, Dave. I'm just saying the first thing I thought of when I saw that post from Dave, I'm like, uh-oh. Somebody going to call Netflix and say, Netflix, you better bring that back.
You done screwed up bad.
Yeah. So the topic. Go ahead. Respond to this, and then we'll get to the topic.
Why cancel a show if it's actually good?
Yeah.
Like, if it's actually good, why go to the trouble of canceling it? I don't get it. Anyways, so what do you do when your shows that you've invested so much time in of your life end?
I go back to season one and start them over again. Good night, everybody.
That's okay. A crappy answer, and you know it.
No, but honestly, it's true. All right, so I will prove this to you, okay? Once again, on my lovely mobile phone where no one has to hear mouse clicks or phone clicks, I can go to my TV section on Hulu specifically, because that's where I do this, even though one of the shows supposedly expires on Hulu on Saturday. Rizzoli and Isles, Dharma and Greg, Animaniacs, Tiny Toon Adventures, let's see what else. Numbers, you know, these. Okay, so Numbers specifically, I'm going through what is probably my upteenth, close to 20th or 30th watch through of all six seasons of Numbers, because I like the show. Yes, the show ended. It actually ended on a good note. There are a lot of shows like Alphas, like Firefly, that end before their time. What do you do when that happens? You move on to the next thing, because you can't control the fact that that show got canceled. But I rewatch stuff more and more.
Yeah, I've, like, for instance... I was watching Last Man Standing, and now it is officially done.
Yes, it is.
And I was at the end. I was happy I got to watch it and all of the things that have happened. I mean, it was canceled and then revived on Fox, and then ABC and then Disney bought Fox. And then so they essentially own the same program they canceled once before.
Yep.
So I think they were just like, let's go out on a high note. Let's do it now. Before they get us again.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I like when Arrow ended, I was left with this like, okay, I've had my fill of superheroes. I was watching all of them. I was watching Batwoman. I was watching Black Lightning. I was watching Arrow, The Legends of Tomorrow, The Flash, and Supergirl. And now I find myself in this conundrum of, as some of my shows end, I don't really feel like inclined to pick up new ones unless they're like limited edition series or they've got like a limited run.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is I stopped after the massive crossover that they did. I stopped watching
Crisis,
I stopped watching Batwoman. I stopped watching Black Lightning. I stopped watching Supergirl. Arrow was done.
Yeah.
So it left me with The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow. And to be honest, Legends of Tomorrow, I'm fairly lost on it. And I'm almost to the point I just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
And The Flash, I'm almost the same, because their villains on it are really lackluster. And I think that's why, like the... Tom Cavanaugh, like he played Harrison Wells like upteen million versions of him, and then you thought he was done, and then he came back as the original one from the one that was murdered by
the night of the accident. Yeah.
So I it was interesting seeing that happen too. And then you've got Cisco lost his powers, and he's got the gauntlets, and then he's leaving, and then. So, I mean, in some regards, I see the natural conclusion coming to some of these fairly soon and having to start fresh, which is why they've got, you know, the Superman and Lois series, and they've got some other ones that are coming. They've kind of soft rebooted Batwoman.
Yeah, I liked the first season of Stargirl. I thought that was really interesting. I am enjoying the hell out of Superman and Lois.
I haven't even watched it yet because it's just fallen off my radar.
Right. And I understand that. The reason this isn't just like I was going to watch it anyway because I wanted to see how they did the show. But I also listened to my buddy Michael Bailey and his BAM crew. They have a show called the Superman and Lois Tapes. It is Michael along with his friends Bethany and Allison, so BAM, BAM crew. And they talk about every episode. So as I'm listening to this podcast, I'm watching the show. I watch the show, obviously, before I listen to the podcast. But it's one of those things where I'm enjoying Superman and Lois. Ever since Karen and I got together, Supergirl season 1 and 2 were okay. Supergirl season 3 to 5 were just
awful.
They had some moments of delight, but the emotional crap that's in that show sometimes is just god awful. Batwoman, my only problem with Batwoman, the first season of it, was they did the Alice storyline throughout the entire season. That should have been 7 episodes and done and moved on. I never wanted to see Alice and her mouse in Wonderland or any of that other bull crap ever again, which means by season 2, I don't know what's going on. I haven't watched it. I don't care. So, yeah, I am right there with you. And for me, like, if a show ends, like you said, Last Man Standing ended, you know, like I said, other show, like Nash Bridges ended in 2001. I wish it hadn't, but it did. Well, 2002 comes along and I have The Shield from FX with Michael Chiklis, you know. So for me, it's more about, you know, to answer the question again in a different way. What do you do when your shows that you get invested in end? I either go back to shows I've already watched and rewatch them, or I try to, like, I am huge into true crime television. Forensic Files, and I know I've mentioned this on this show before, Forensic Files, anything HLN does, anything Investigation Discovery does, Homicide Hunter is easily my number one favorite show because it's 9 seasons of this one detective's cases and the way that he approaches police work and the way his story happened and is shown on the show. Like, I fall asleep to this guy every night because I listen to both of his audiobooks to put myself to sleep. I know them that much. I know the content that much. Forensic Files, don't get me started. Forensic Files was on the air for a number of years. It was narrated by Peter Thomas. May the man rest in peace. He's been dead, I think, since 2016. But Peter Thomas has this voice. And what I will do is, because we can't put any audio in the podcast anymore, I will find a clip on YouTube of Peter Thomas narrating an episode of Forensic Files, and I will embed it into the GeekCastRadio.com website post of this episode of Altered Geek and show you guys, if you don't know who Peter Thomas is, this is who Peter Thomas is. He has one of those narrator voices that if you already know the case, if you've seen Forensic Files so much that you know within like 2 seconds, and sometimes I will say this because there are pretty bad cases on there at times because they're so god awful. Like, Karen, what's that case? The doctor, Sartorius. There's a doctor, Peter Sartorius or something or other on there, and it's like every time they show that episode, Karen and I just groan because we know we've seen it so many times. So that's the point here, is that because I've seen that one show so many times, I can put it on as background and fall asleep to it. And that's what I do with my TV watching. And I watch things and I read things and I listen to things to review them for podcasts. If anyone has listened to the last few episodes of The Pullbag, I will say I don't read comics just to read them. I have a comic book review and discussion podcast. I want to give you folks who are listening to this my most honest, fresh reaction. So anywhere from 2 hours to 12 hours before I record an episode of The Pullbag, I am sitting here listening to some music that goes along with the comic and reading that comic. So by the time it gets to the recording, I am super fresh. I know everything about the comic that I can remember. And you'll have a fresh emotional reaction. That's just the way I do my entertainment these days. I don't just do the things just to do them. I do them because we're running this podcast network, hopefully not into the ground. And we enjoy talking about the things that we like reading, watching, listening to, you know, whatever. You know, you guys went on this whole big camping trip recently. That's, you know, that's another discussion we could do at some point kind of thing. Like, you know, oh, Steve went on a camping trip this weekend. What did you do? You know what I mean? That, you know, that kind of thing. So my whole approach to podcasting, and I said this over on Geekcast Radio, is kind of changing. I am no longer wanting necessarily to be the news reactor person. I'm no longer really wanting to sit through 130 episodes of a cartoon series to talk about each individual episode. If I watch a 13-episode cartoon series on Netflix and we talk about that whole season all in one go, sure, fine, I'm great. You know, it's just one of those things where after doing this for almost 13 years, I need to find a different way to do it in a way that's going to keep me invested and interested and wanting to be able to do it. And I'm working on that. You know, you said at the beginning of this how I do the whole narrator big boom and I cut to things and I do this and I do. It's because I listen to a lot of narrators and I've picked that up and I've adapted that into my style of how I do the podcasts.
Yeah, and I totally get that. And for me, as far as what I do when something ends, I go back and I watch ones that I enjoy that I don't necessarily have to feel invested in. So, for instance, I may watch, you know, old Star Trek episodes, whether TNG, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, the original series, Enterprise. I never go back and rewatch any of the modern stuff.
Relics.
Well, yeah. I don't watch Picard. I don't watch Discovery. I don't watch Lower Decks. And it's not because I don't enjoy aspects of them. I just don't enjoy them on a whole. And right. Because they're not episodic, I can't just put on an episode and enjoy that episode and just be done with it.
Yeah.
It's one of those scenarios where once I've watched it, that's it. Like, I mean, it's a serialized show. Like, I loved Prison Break when that was on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a serialized show. You can't just pick up a random episode and watch it. You have to watch, like, the whole season.
Yeah.
And, or, you know, if you're later on, you have to watch everything that came before because you won't understand it. And so, like, to be honest, like, I just prefer the standalone episode stuff now. And the serialized, not that it doesn't have a place, not that it's not good. I don't think there's a lot of rewatchability for the content. Now, in some regards, like I have had shows that I've dropped because mm-hmm. of just them being over. I had picked up like I'd watch The Mandalorian while that's on, and then after it's done, I'm done until the next season. Same thing with like I watched WandaVision, but that's pretty much a one and done. Yeah. And then Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I watched that. And now I'm watching The Bad Batch and The Mighty Ducks Game Changers. More so the Game Changers, more so because I just want to see how Gordon Bombay plays into it.
Have you finished it yet?
I got one episode left.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure. Oh, I mean,
okay. So if we want to do, and I'm just throwing this out there, balls to the wall. If you watch the last episode before next week or next month or whenever you want to do another Altered Geek, it's up to you. Let's do an episode on that show because I have a lot of thoughts on that show.
Okay. Now Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I did love how it ended.
Yes.
And spoiler for anybody that hasn't seen it yet, Falcon becomes Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
His suit's awesome. He mm-hmm. takes the shield. And then yeah. they made Bucky. Carter. Yeah.
Oh, Sharon. Yeah. Sharon.
They made her bad.
Yep.
And then Bucky, they redeemed him too.
Yeah. No, Falcon and Winter is amazing. I absolutely love that. And I know a lot of people are going to say this once I say the man's name, but Henry Jackman, who did, I think, the X-Men, like First Class and that kind of score. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier music is amazing. I love those scores. They're so awesome. Yeah, Falcon and Winter was great. I need to actually go back and watch all six episodes again just for enjoyment kind of thing. And that's the kind of thing I can go back to, just like I can go back to Numbers or I can go back to... I don't go back and watch every episode of this, but I go, like you were saying, I go back and watch various episodes of the old Knight Rider show. I go back and watch one or two episodes of the Knight Rider reboot from 2008. Every once in a while, I go back to the A-Team kind of thing because the A-Team is badass. You know, so it's more of a, what do we do when our shows end? We either, and I don't do a lot of new TV. I don't either.
It has to be something I've invested some other portion of that property
mm-hmm.
to care. Like the revival of the Mighty Ducks, that was yeah. an obvious grab. So I rewatched the three films, so I was familiar with it. And then with the story, because I hadn't seen them in a long time. And yeah. then Falcon and the Winter Soldier was obvious after Endgame.
Because of Marvel.
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of aspects came into play for some of these shows. And so, like, I know that they're a one and done. I have no issue with watching them. Same thing with, like, the Transformers War for Cybertron series that mm-hmm. Netflix is doing. I know that it's its own standalone series. There's, you know, six episodes a season. Mm-hmm. And then it's done. And I know yep. that after that, I'm fully done with it. Like, there's no ongoing to worry about. Yes, there'll be another show possibly taking place after the War for Cybertron that connects with the same continuity.
Yeah.
But
it's not another season of War for Cybertron. It's whatever's next. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so it's a lot of these shows, like, I just don't feel the need to pick up a new show.
And so. The other thing about TV evolving is, you know, I mentioned earlier that Numbers has six seasons. Well, Numbers came out, I think, in 2005. I think it ran from 2005 to 2010, 2011, something like that. But it has six seasons. So in six seasons, most of the seasons have somewhere between 20 and 24 episodes. Same thing with, like, The Flash and Supergirl and that kind of thing. When they first started, you know, they had 20-something episodes. Well, ever since Netflix and Hulu and everything else did these 13 or 26 or 8 or 6 or what, TV, the other way it's evolving is the fact that they're giving us more content in the episodes than you would normally get on a, like, an NBC cable, NBC broadcast show with advertisements, because they can dedicate more time to it and have less episodes, like the 8-episode arc or the 13-episode arc. That's the other part of TV that has evolved, that not all shows now are, oh my God, there are 22 episodes of this to watch.
So, yeah, I just, there's a lot that's changed in the TV landscape, and I just find I don't care about a lot of it.
I will say before we, I don't know how you're going to wrap this up or anything like that, but I will say before we go, the one new show that I had interest in that I watched that I cannot wait until the eventual second season happens, whenever it does happen, is Upload from Amazon.
That's the one with Robbie ML.
Yeah. I think you'd like it. I don't know.
What's funny is I just recently stumbled on that by accident.
I told you about it when we first started Studio 2009. But anyway, go ahead.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember you doing that. I'd forgotten about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's the newest new show that I've watched that isn't a franchise, that isn't attached to anything, that isn't a reboot or a redo or whatever. I cannot watch The Bad Batch until I finish Clone Wars and I start and finish Rebels. I'm in the middle of season 5 of Clone Wars, and holy crap, Darth Maul, oh my God, wow. Darth Maul and Savage. Clone Wars.
Oh, okay. Yeah, when you watch Rebels, you see how he goes away.
Oh, I'm sure. Right now I'm seeing how he returned.
Ah.
So, yeah.
Robo legs.
Yeah. A little crazy, a little disgusting, whatever.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, TV is fluid, folks. In my mind, it always has been. It's always changing, and there are always new and interesting and different ways to discover stuff or not discover stuff or go back to things that you used to watch. Anything else? Go ahead.
Well, and that's why I just prefer to watch the old stuff, because I don't have to feel invested. I can just watch it for the enjoyment or for the theme of the episode.
It's like the old man, one of the old man characters in one of the Pixar films. There ain't no school like the old school.
That be true. So, in this episode post, be sure to let us know what you do when your shows that you've spent a lot of time in end. Whether it be pick up a new show, rewatch the same show, watch other shows, just what is your methodology? Let us know. Send us feedback at geekcastradio.com or comment on the episode post and let us know, or on social media. And you can, of course, get a hold of me on social media at SCP21 and yourself, sir.
At TFG and Mike.
So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.